It's the Dougie Show. Yeah. Come on. I hear way too many people snoring right now, and they shouldn't be sleeping. Wake your ass up. You already know what time it is. It's the world's greatest show. Will we keep it 100? Y'all know his name, yeah. Y'all know his name. Oh yeah, that's right, his name is Dougie. The one and only. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show. Y'all know his name, yeah. Y'all know his name. Yeah, it's the Dougie Show.
Hey yo, check it out. You're listening to the Waking Up Late with Dougie Show, recorded live on tape at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. Now here's your host, keeping it real, Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, what's up everybody? Good morning and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's Thursday morning and I'm here as usual with Lenny Travis.
Yeah, sitting in.
That's right. And of course, this is the WEI Network and IRN Internet Radio Network, where we come to you, 3 days a week, Tuesday through Thursday, with all new shows right here at the in the studio. So, and ladies, and don't forget to stick around today, by the way, because we're gonna have Bob Levy calling in to find out what's going on. He actually has a new contest out there, the last comic fapping, which is a look for the dirtiest comic. So if you got dirty,
I was gonna say, whoever eats cream cheese out of a girl's ass, is that how that works?
Yeah, that might be part of the qualifications. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll see. But yeah, so check that out. He's gonna be here tonight. He's gonna tell us a little more about it. I think to enter, you can go to RevBobLevy.com and check out that stuff. All right, there you go. So thanks again for listening. Hey, big show last night, Jim Florentine at Wise Guys Comedy Show. So we're excited about that. And, of course, we got a lot of great shows coming up, by the way. And don't forget, Meatball Room's back, Lenny.
Who do you got? Who's the big headliner?
The next one will be in July. And I think Steve Johnson. You ever hear of Steve Johnson?
That sounds a little familiar.
Yeah, when I understand, he was like the back in the 80s, he was like the Eric Myers of his day. Very funny guy, really? Very talented. But
where's he from? Like, where did he work out of?
I don't really know. A bunch of older comics knew who the hell he was. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'd heard other people said, oh yeah, I know who the guy is. So check that out. He'll be there. So we're going to have that. Of course, Jose Sardou is going to be in town. Claude Stewart will be in town. So a lot of shows. And on June 16th, Wise Guys Comedy Show comes back to Starlight Lounge. So that's a Tuesday night on June 16th. And Jody White's going to be the headliner. So
who is she? Do we know her?
Yeah, she's been at the Wise Guys Room in Coral Springs. She's married to Dale Jones, very funny comic. But, again, right, that'll be on June 16th in Pompano Beach at the Starlight Lounge. So check that out. So at any rate, what you been doing, dude? You're on vacation. You got gigs coming up.
Yeah, I did that the Aroma Room.
Oh, yeah. Perry had told me. Yeah.
There was like 20 high school girls there.
Yeah.
So I just walked up on stage, and my first line was, "So it's fucking older bald guy night."
Yeah.
And the place just went nuts. And I thought it was going to be a tough... You didn't know if it was going to be tough or not, because I went on last. But I ended up doing, like, almost 40 minutes. And everyone was doing, like, 10 and 15.
Right.
And it was just a killer. They were a great crowd. And yeah. There's other rooms coming back. The room on Wednesday with the guy who threatened him with a gun.
Don't tell me he's going to go and work with this guy again.
Yeah, it turns out that the guy with the gun has a dad who said to the son who had the gun, who threatened him, he said, "What the hell are you doing? Jordan was packing this room on a Wednesday." So the guy made him take the room back. I had a feeling that was going to happen. Like, here he was packing this bar out on a Wednesday night, and then the next week, nobody is there. Like, totally empty.
Right.
So this guy's like, "We were making a grand on Wednesday. Now we're making nothing."
Yeah, would you take it back? Did you even tell the kid that it's a good idea to go back?
I told him to get a better deal, and he said he did. He said it's a little better. He said he got the comics a free drink.
Okay.
I go, you know, it's in the right direction.
Wow.
You know, he's a hustler, that kid.
Yeah. Well, that's good, though.
We actually had a virgin in the crowd.
A virgin or a virgin?
A version of a virgin.
Yeah.
I don't even remember seeing one. Like, I guess I saw him in high school, but you really didn't know. So one of the comics before me said, hey, how old are you girls? And they all went, 19. I guess they had just graduated or they were in their first year of college. And he goes, any of you virgins? And one girl raised a hand.
Yeah.
So when I got on stage, I go, who's the virgin? She raised a hand. I said, when you said that, I came.
Yeah, that kind of happens.
Yeah. I said, if you see any spots on my pants, it's because you yelled out you were a virgin.
Yeah, try to keep that to yourself, please.
Wow. I said, do they still make you? I was like, rip. It was, and big people were dying. I was like, I mean, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, you'd think nowadays most kids would be active, you know?
Yeah. I think that if you're a guy and you're a virgin, you know, you're like, how do I do this? If you're a girl, I think the directions are kind of simple, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not hard to have sex.
Spread legs, it's a two-step. I would think that girls would do it just to get it over with, unless you were really maybe either trying to think, maybe I'm going to be a nun, or maybe I should just do it once with my husband. Otherwise, you should be open for business.
Right. I mean, you know. Yeah, the way things are nowadays, we don't have there's no promises for tomorrow. You know, there may not be a tomorrow, so you might as well, you know, get it done now.
I know. It was like looking at the new cars, like when they come out each year. Right. I was like, look at the year. So like 19, that would be, so 20 years ago, that's 95. They were from 95. Like, they were all born in around 95.
Right.
Maybe 96. Have you seen the new 96s?
Yeah.
The new 96s rolled into the Aroma Bar last night. It was like a car show.
Yeah.
And they had the mini skirts on and heels and that stupid look on their face like I'm about to have my first beer with a fake ID. And they weren't even drinking. I guess you can't drink, right? But you can get into the bar.
Yeah, I guess you got to wear one of those wristbands of some sort that, you know.
But they were howling. What a great crowd. Like, you couldn't believe it. Must have been at least, I'd say, close to 20 of them.
Yeah. And your humor, that's always good to know that your humor goes along well with the younger people, younger crowd.
You know what?
Crowd.
They were dying to have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, Perry went up, our friend, just killed with this table. And then everyone, I mean, at points, they were screaming and applauding. Like, they were just totally into the show.
Yeah.
There were, like, no distractions for a bar show. Like, everyone was, it's kind of a decent setup, that place. Like, everyone, there's a good spotlight and a stage, so everyone's just looking at the stage.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the spotlight might be a little bit too bright, don't you think?
Yeah, but for that room, I figured it was, like, good to get, I mean, everyone was watching. And then more people came as the night went on, so to the point where the place was probably two-thirds packed.
So by the time you got on, it was got busy?
Yeah. There was an excellent crowd of young virgins.
Well, that's nice, dude. I just can't believe that he decided to go back to work at that other place, considering everything that had happened. You know what I mean?
I knew that they were going to have to, the guy was going to have to consider it. I thought that to myself about a week ago. I go, what's this guy going to do when zero people show up on a night where he was making $1,000? He may have been able to pay his rent just by the Wednesdays. So All of a sudden, there goes his rent.
For something
so stupid.
Would you trust a guy that pulled a gun on you or brandished a gun at you once in the past?
No, but you know what? Him and his father worked the door, so all they have to do is take all the money. So they don't even have to get money from the guy.
Right. Well, that's good. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah, you don't want to deal with having to get money back from a guy like that.
Yeah, and he said he might be trying to make it a weekend. So he thinks that if that happens, and there's a chance maybe it could take off.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's just amazing that you'd go back to work with somebody who pulled a gun on you. I mean, if I ever did that,
if
that ever happened to me, I'd tell the guy, look, if you ever pull a fucking gun on me again, you know, I'm going to come back and I'm going to fucking stick a 2x4 down your fucking throat.
Yeah, absolutely. I told him. I go, that would scare the hell out of me. And I remember, I think we talked about this last week. He's a Jew, the guy.
Right. Straight from Israel.
And he was fighting. He was fighting over $11.
Right.
That's what they were fighting over. A door split of $22.
Yeah, could you imagine?
And Jordan did say the guy let a couple of his friends in the back.
Right.
You know, and, you know, everyone's supposed to pay. So he goes, you know, they have to work that out. You know, the guy can't be letting in people for free when everyone's, for $7.
Right.
What do you think that place holds? You think it even holds 100? Or does it hold more like 50 or 60?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at about 10 tables, 10 to 15, 20 tables that hold 4 people, 5 people at the most. If that.
Like 60 people?
Yeah.
So if he could make $400 a night, he could probably be doing good. Then he has, and he's got 2 rooms. So if he can make $800 a week, I mean, I know his dad's doing a lot of the work.
Yeah.
He must be splitting it with his dad.
Yeah. Well, you'd hope that dad is helping out. It's always good to have family help you with that kind of shit.
But he does get people there. I mean, and they're both nice rooms. Like, they're in nice locations.
Yeah. And again, you know, what makes a nice location is a nice stage, nice lit, well lit, you know, an area for people to see you without distractions. Like, even at Time of Leo's.
It's like in a nice location in the town where it's in.
Right.
Like, both of them are in kind of busy strip malls.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, dude. That's all we're going to say. Like, even sometimes at Tavolino's, we have an issue because there's a bar that's right there in the middle of the room, in a sense. And there's like acoustics that keep the noise in the bar really reaching into the stage area. But still, you know, when it's packed, like last night we were packed, you know, so if there's people around the back, you know. But sometimes if the crowd's that big, though, with us, if the crowd's big enough, it completely, you know, diminishes any noise from the bar. Because the show just takes over.
Right.
So, just one of those things. Hey, speaking of comedians.
Has that happened recently?
Well, I mean, it just sometimes you get, you know, sometimes it gets a little loud. You know, people at the bar, and then you get, of course, you always have. I mean, last week we had this table of 4 women sitting in this one table, which is basically in the other room, aside from the comedy room. And this one woman was so fucking loud. Like you could, you know, she's talking at the table, and I can hear her, like, across the room. I'm like, I imagine the women sitting at the table must be going, what hell is she talking so loud, you know? But it was just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So that happens. Hey, here's a little story about our friend Artie Lang. Political correctness is direct enemy of comedy, he says. Yeah, we all heard about what happened with Jerry Seinfeld. is Jerry Seinfeld onto something, or is he just out of touch? The multimillionaire comedian said earlier this week that politically correct climate on many college campuses is keeping comedians away. Quote, I don't play colleges, but I hear a lot of people tell me, don't go near colleges. They're so PC, Seinfeld told ESPN, that they just want to use these words, that racist, that sexist, that prejudice. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
When I did FAU, they were like really like, I wouldn't say conservative, but they were like, it was like a real young, naive crowd.
Right.
But the thing is, I don't think they cared about really political correctness.
Well, I know.
They really just wanted to have a good time.
Yeah, sometimes that happens with the college crowd. They, you know, if you say something, they automatically, they judge. And because they want to know. They want to know like they know everything. Political correctness is direct enemy of comedy. Humor is to feel loose and not to take yourself too seriously. Artie Lang told the news, you should be able to joke about everything, race, religion, sexuality, everything you should be okay to joke about. Quote, young people seem to not even want to bring up certain subjects, so there's nothing to talk about, Lang added. A comedian's going to have to go out on a stage at a college campus and say, there's nothing I'm allowed to say, get home safely. But not everyone agrees that college kids are closed off.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Those gigs are still big. I mean, they still have massive amounts of comedy at colleges.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, if you look at how many colleges there are, I would say every college might have at least one comedian a year. So now you're talking about thousands and thousands of gigs. And then some have a couple of comedy shows a year.
Right.
So now how many gigs are you talking about?
Yeah, and they still pay great. You know, those college gigs pay great, but I think for the most part, they, they hire the younger kids to relate. You know, I mean, I think
it's always going to be specific. You know what? They have those. It's a convention. It's called a NACA convention.
Right.
I mean, I remember Carrot Top was the king of this, and he wasn't politically correct or anything. It just has to do with the act.
Yeah.
And he used to be the king of colleges, Carrot Top. He was booked for a year at like anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 a pop.
Right.
And everyone used to say, this guy works like he makes a fortune, you know, doing colleges. I remember, I think this was probably in the late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah. You do one of those a month, you know, do one or two of those a month and then do some other clubs. Maybe a corporate gig here and there. And next thing you know, you're making six figures doing comedy. Yay.
Did you ever see what Carrot Top did to his face?
His whole body. But then he get...
Yeah, he pulled a Mickey Rourke.
Right.
Yeah, he looks like he was... he looks like a rebuilt monster.
Yeah, he looks like a redheaded Klingon.
Sorry, Carrot Top.
Yeah. He looks like a redheaded Klingon.
But again, I heard he's working his own room in Vegas now for years.
Yeah, in the Luxor. Isn't he in the Luxor?
He's got a Carrot Top room. I think it's maybe 300 seats. I'm pretty sure he's doing damn good.
Yeah, that'd be a great gig, wouldn't it? You live in it, you have a room in Vegas in one of the hotels, just performing all the time.
God, you imagine that?
You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to travel. Room. You know, and that's the key.
Also, 300 seats isn't probably that hard to fill.
Yeah, especially in Vegas, especially if you're Carrot Top. Right,
and the casino's probably happy, you know, if he's selling it out.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal, you know. But that's we strive for that. Meanwhile, you and I are performing at places in Fort Myers and in Naples. I guess you're booked at the Room to Laugh gig.
I asked about your gig. You're doing a Wednesday,
right?
So I'm doing it. I'm doing a weekend this weekend, which was the old Naples Comedy Club. And he goes, hey, things are looking good. We have like 5 reservations. I went, it's good.
So that's this weekend?
Yeah, this weekend. But I asked him about the Wednesday that you're doing. And he said originally it was in a bar and the guy was supposed to help him fill it. But he said he hasn't been getting more than 10 people a show. But I guess he's paying you. He must be paying you okay to go there on a Wednesday, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Actually, it'll be me, Tim Hanlon, and John Levine. So there's going to be a host, middle, and, you know, me headlining.
Right.
Well.
I mean, it's not a bad drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's an hour and a half. But, you know, the thing is that you want something to work. Now I'm only concerned because I know that Captain Brian has reopened the Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples. So I don't know if that's going to be a conflict. And again, to be honest with you, I don't know if Captain Brian's booking features at this point. I mean. Yeah, again, he had Frank Del Pizzo running the room and then just bringing in the headliners along with Frank, which was working well for Frank, but not for anybody else who's trying to get feature work in that club.
What was Frank doing for the room?
He was actually like the house MC when they were in Fort Myers. So he'd open the show and then basically bring up the headliner. So they didn't have to pay a...
So they weren't using middles.
Pretty much, right. Frank wanted to take a break of some sort.
Right.
So
is it definitely reopening? Because I heard that he's been saying he's going to reopen for like months.
Yeah, he opened up a new restaurant called Row in Naples, and they put a stage in it. So it's kind of like a big seafood place with a stage on the side somewhere. And they're doing shows. They had their opening week last week, Thursday. And I guess this week they have another show. And so I started sending my avails to him again. So let's see what happens. Anyway.
Who was there last week, do you know?
Gary Menke and friends from the Orlando Improv area. Gary Menke, who's got a bit of a reputation in the Florida comedy scene as being, you know what being Menke'd is? You ever hear the expression?
No.
Right. He basically was running or managing the Orlando Improv, so people would be Menke'd if Menke would say, hey, I'm going to hire you to MC or feature for me on this date, and then you show up at the gig and find out that someone else is featuring or MCing. They never called you to tell you, but you've been Menke'd.
Don't you confirm? Don't you confirm? Like the even days or the week of before you go to a gig?
Well, you would think so. I mean, when you work for certain agencies like Comedy Zone, Funny Business, you know, there's a procedure. They send you stuff. You know, they want you to call the week before, you know, making sure everything's still cool. You know, you have an itinerary sent to you and all that kind of stuff, how much you're getting paid, where's your hotel, all this, you know, all this great professional stuff. But then some, you know, like obviously when I book people at, on our run, we don't, I don't have all that, but I send an email with that information. But, you know, it's not like, you know, you would hope. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, like, I don't see how you cannot call a guy the week of the, like, let's say you're doing a weekend, you call him that, like I called the guy for this weekend, like on Monday. And I said, hey, we're all set. He goes, yeah, we're all set. I go, all right, beautiful.
Sure. Why not? Maybe that's what you got to do. You got to be professional, right? So
yeah, you don't try, you're not going to go any long distance to a gig without confirming you're there.
Yeah. But sometimes...
so that's what this guy's known for.
Yeah, he'd book you and then never tell you that he booked someone else or forgot to write it down or shit like that. You know? So...
Nice.
And I just, I'm excited. Going to be the Oakley Comedy Club in Jacksonville area is reopened, so I'm going to be going out there in August. And I just booked up something in Orange
Park. Another gig in Jacksonville?
Yeah, well, it's a one-nighter. They do it once a month. It's in like a country club kind of thing that they're booking, but going to be going out there called Oakleaf Comedy Club. And, you know, for a guy like you, you may not want to go because it's a long drive and it's a one-nighter, and you don't get a hotel.
Is it any type of decent money?
No, not if you're going back and forth or you're gonna, if you get a hotel. Unless you do what you do. You take your old lady, you make a vacation day out of it, and you know you make enough money for the gas and the hotel, and you come home not making anything.
We actually had friends that went to see Tom Green at the Jacksonville Comedy Zone.
Right.
The guy said it was absolutely packed.
Yeah.
He said packed to the back wall.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm hoping to get the book there again because there's no more Comedy Club of Jacksonville. The Funny Business Room is closed, and that was
really
That was the room that the guy had basically didn't want the comics to using the F word, so he made everybody agree not to use the F word. Which some people think that's maybe why he's closing.
Was that the Yoda gig?
Yeah,
I heard that gig was doing good. Someone told me like a couple of months, it was just like about 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was doing all right, you know. I mean, but...
How about that?
The only thing I was worried about, it's a huge room. The place
very
was huge.
Fickle, these gigs.
Yeah, the place is huge, and in order, I can only imagine what the lease is. You know, usually the first year they give you a deal. Oh, don't worry about it, just pay us this much. But by the second year, like, okay, well, we want this much. And, you know, I mean, if you open up a comedy club, and you, in order to keep the doors open, you need to be at full capacity. That ain't going to work. The only way a comedy club is going to work is if you could be at 30% capacity on your open nights to pay the bills, then you might be able to you know, trudge through. You know, because if you got to have a full room to break even, that ain't, you know, where are you going to go? You're gonna have people sit on top of each other? You know?
No, I know gigs. I just read this gig in, I think, Indianapolis. It was there for years, Crackers,
right.
And it closed, and then someone reopened it under another name, and I go, there's just no way. I mean, there's a real good reason why Crackers left, so to think that you're going to reopen it and make a go of it is insane.
Right.
Because you figure Crackers, they probably stayed open as long as they probably thought was possible, and they were like, hey, you know, it's just not working in this location.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a restaurant. I'm always amazed when somebody takes over a closed restaurant and says, oh, we'll do it better. It's location,
yeah,
location, location. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't matter sometimes how good the food is, you know? And especially a restaurant that had a bad reputation and going back in there. It's like, oh, we're at this place. Oh, this place used to suck. Oh, great. Yeah, I want to open here.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing with all of these comedy clubs. If they could pack out every show every week, they could definitely make money.
Right.
But as soon as you don't, that's the end.
Yeah. And you got to be open all week. You got to do stuff all week. You know, you can't just be open Friday. Remember the New York Comedy Club, you should try to sustain itself by being open Friday and Saturday night. Meanwhile, 5 days a week.
Yeah, then they have a bad Friday and a bad Saturday late show, and you go, wow, this is a disaster.
Right. You know, like Randy Singer with his Boca Block Box Theater, Boca Box or whatever he's calling it. You know, he's going to try to do stuff all week, you know, generate revenue for the place. So let's see if that works.
That is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. Has he booked you?
Unless you could book like, nah, why? Is he gave you a gig?
No, you think he's going to reach out to me and give me a gig?
I don't think he has any. I think it's just going to be like a headliner show, basically. That's not going to be an MC in the middle.
Yeah, he's probably going to try to save
I think
much
he's going to have headliners, maybe singers.
Yeah, well, he'll have comedy. He'll have shows strictly devoted to comedy. He's going to have all kinds. But it seems to me like he's just going to try to rent the place out. Like, Axe will come and say, okay, you're going to rent it. You know, bring it, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that sounds like a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, you really think, hey, I'll rent it and let me see how I do.
Well, there might be like people that perform, you know, like in plays, like traveling, like what they call it, equity theater groups. You know, they say, hey, we want to put Phantom of the Opera on in your theater. Okay, 3 weeks, I'll charge you this much, you know, or a certain percentage of ticket sales.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
Maybe there's a shot of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you need 50 acts like Bobby Collins that don't work the improv. I mean, I don't think there are 50 acts like that.
Right. Yeah, well.
Because if they were, first, most of those acts are going to be working the improv.
Well, yeah, what I'm beginning to learn is there's a lot of comedy acts, as we know, that don't work the improv. You know, like I work with Kyle Grooms.
Oh, yeah, like think about that. But to Bobby Collins, not to work the improv. He told me that long ago that they didn't even want to come close to the money he wanted.
Well, could you imagine?
And so he doesn't work.
And they'll pay somebody probably that much money that was on MTV or Guy Code or something, you know, instead of a guy like Bobby Collins.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I always wondered how come he wasn't at the didn't perform at the improv, a guy like that.
He told me he goes he totally said to me, he goes they offered me like, you know, a fraction of what I make in other places.
Right.
You know, they probably didn't want to give him a door deal.
Well, but again, think about some of the people, you know, why wouldn't they cut it? Because he's a draw, right? I mean, God Almighty. You know, Bobby Collins draws people.
Yeah, he's definitely a draw.
All kinds of people.
I don't see why he wouldn't give, like, what's the big deal? Give him the door deal.
Right.
Like, if he could fill it with, like, 700 people, you're getting the drinks. They probably didn't want to give him the entire door, and that's probably what he wanted. Or, like, a bigger, or at least, you know, let's say he wanted 50% of the door, and they were offering him 10, so they weren't even on the same page.
Yeah. Well, he seemed to have figured it out, right?
Yeah, I bet that guy makes about $1 million a year.
Wow, you think?
I think because, like, with the gigs, the times that I worked with him, he was selling merchandise like crazy.
Yeah.
So he must make probably $200,000 to $300,000 selling merchandise because the markup is insane. Like, I think a DVD, you could probably get, like, 5,000 DVDs for $5,000, and he's probably selling it for 20.
Right. Yeah.
I know that, like, the more DVDs you buy, the cheaper it gets. So for a guy like him, I could easily see him going, you know, I know comics that can't afford it go, you know, I buy, like, 300 for a certain price. But if you bought 10,000, they could probably give it to you for a dollar.
Well, yeah, hopefully that'd be your merch for the next year or so to sell on when you're on the road.
Right.
I'm glad you brought that up. I got to order some more shirts. Actually sold. I couldn't believe I sold.
Yeah,
shirts.
The shirt sold out.
Yeah, well, I didn't sell out, but I found myself on the Late Show this weekend at Belushi's. I had double XL and medium, and a couple of my shirts. I'm like, oh shit, I guess I better not push them. I can only sell them to small people and big fat people.
How was the crowd then? Did they have big crowds?
Yeah, good crowds. Thursday night was a little light, but Friday and Saturday, all four shows were pretty good. So that was cool. Good place.
What, it was two Friday, two Saturday.
Yeah, one Thursday.
Was it more crowded than the Laughing Cafe?
Well, it's a smaller room, so it's kind of hard to judge. I mean, again, it was right. The late shows were fuller, were more of capacity, percentage of capacity than, let's say, the Friday late show when I last worked there. But I haven't been to Laughing in about a year. It's been I actually was there in May of 2014 was the last time I was there at the old Laughing Comedy Cafe.
Those guys must be going nuts about all the comedy clubs that have opened there.
Now, you know, the thing that it bugs me.
It wasn't like they were making a fortune.
I asked the guy, Chris Cowles, who's the house MC, I said, look, you know, I don't know. I wonder if there's any issue if I'm working at Belushi's, you know, or even at the time at Off the Hook. And he had mentioned to me that he goes, no, we don't ever tell people where we're not to work. Now, I don't know if that's actually if Joe Galanis, who's the owner of Laughing, feels the same way. You know, you never know, because some of the headliners have said that, you know, Joe didn't want them working at Belushi's. So,
yeah, I could definitely see if you're a headliner.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, well, who gives a shit about the middle? You know, if I perform at either one of those clubs, my fans will come to both shows. You know what I mean? Even if it's 6 months apart or whatever, they're going to still come, you know, to support me like they would as if I had been in one of the other rooms. So who the fuck knows? A little crazy.
Yeah, usually the middle act isn't even advertised.
That's right. I'm always amazed when a club that doesn't advertise the middle actually asks you and tells you where and where not to be. And by the way, speaking of that subject matter of club owners or bookers telling you where you can and can't work, I understand it was brought to my attention that our good friend Larry Silver, who's still a friend of mine on Facebook, and again, I give, you know, we said what we did about Larry and his reputation as a booker, and I guess he's not considering me for any more of the Groucho's gigs, which is fine with me, because I understand they have one room that is no longer, but our friend Wayne Felber is going to be trying to help him along by bringing free acts to Larry. You know, having Larry's going to help.
Free?
Yeah, you know, of course. You know, because that's what Larry wants, free acts to keep the room going. But this is one of the, I think it's in Stewart or one of the rooms there that Larry was working. It's a place called Gallery or something like that. And, you know, I guess he was supposedly going to lose it. And I think our friend Shannon Hall was going to try to take it over. But now I guess they're still going to have Wayne Felber run the room, which, you know, Wayne's a good kid, you know, hardworking kid, but I don't know how much talent he can bring there on a weekly basis, besides two or three people. But, you know, hey, if you're gonna work for Larry, you know, God bless you. Work is work. But I'm about to unfriend him on Facebook, and if Larry listens to the show, I sent him a message. I sent him an email saying, hey, you know, I guess that... you know, by you not responding or anything like that, you're not going to book me. So basically at the end of this week, he'll be unfriended. No need of having, you know, a guy like that, you know. Again, it's pissed me off that when somebody says, oh, if you're not going to book my hypno show in your room, then perhaps I'm not going to, you know, work with you. And I'm like, okay, if it's tit for tat, then I guess I'll have to deal without it. Then have my the people at Tavolino's have to witness that fucking hypno show. Yeah, last time I worked with a hypnosis, he put them to sleep.
Does that even work, that hypnosis show?
I don't know. I think it's a bunch of bullshit. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm here with Lenny Travis. And don't forget to stick around.
Oh, yeah.
Stick around. Bob Levy will be joining us today for You Know What I'm Saying at the end of the show. So we'll be right back right after this.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Johnny was a schoolboy when he heard his first Beatles song. Love me do, I think it was, and from there it didn't take him long. Got himself a guitar, used to play every night. Now he's in a rock and roll outfit and everything's alright. Don't you know?
Yeah, welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. This is the WEI Network and of course IRN, Internet Radio Network, where we come to you with new shows Tuesday through Thursday at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm here with Lenny Travis. And if you'd like to stick around, Bob Levy will be joining us at the end of the show for a little segment of You Know What I'm Saying. So it's been an interesting week. Yesterday in the show, we talked about the fight in Walmart, you know, between the two women. We talked about the pool party fight, which, you know, this one cop ended up resigning because he pulled a gun on kids. And all this, you know, and it's just getting ridiculous that as a people, we're reacting the way we react, you know, at this kind of shit. Everybody wants to know and judge, and, you know, I'm just, I can't even watch this shit anymore. Every time I see one of these fucking videos, on Facebook or something. I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah, you knew that the cop was going to get bounced out. You know, you just can't have that on TV. Even if most of the people in the community were saying that they wanted the cops there.
Right. Because there was a lot of problems. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes when a bunch of people get together, white, black, or whatever, it doesn't matter, there may be an incident. And that's the thing that's a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a private community pool. And they said that the person who had the party was someone who was renting there and invited like 100 people over.
Right.
So, you know, it was their fault for doing that.
Right.
But then you got a cop taking a black 14-year-old girl and throwing her on the ground.
Yeah, and putting his knee on her back and holding her down. I mean, you know, looks a little perverted, too, because she was in a bikini. You know?
Yeah, that was definitely, I definitely got a little wood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he threw that girl down, I was like, look at that.
I mean, it's one thing, all right, okay. What could be happening? You know, what could be so bad? You know, let the kids fucking go. What could have happened? Disperse. Just send the kids on their way. Get the fuck out. That's what you want. You want everybody to leave. What are you going to do? Arrest somebody for being at a pool uninvited? You know, come on. I mean, just
I know.
Just tell the kids to go fucking home. That's what I would have done. Get the fuck home. Go. Don't stick around here. If you stick around, I'll be here. And I guess that's what was happening. Somebody had mentioned that they were telling everybody just to leave, like, go home, and they were, like, arguing and shit, and, like, telling the cop to go fuck himself, in a sense. And the cop says, okay, well, you know. I mean, when does it get down to it where if a kid tells a cop to go fuck himself, you know, and not listen to the cop, you know, if you don't leave, you're going to be arrested. If you don't leave, you're being arrested. What the fuck? Why am I being arrested? Well, you didn't fucking listen to what I said. I could stand.
And then he whipped the gun out.
Yeah, well.
You know, you whip the gun out at some kids. And you're like, that guy's John.
Yeah, I mean, in that instance, when you watch it, you got to. I would say to myself, I wouldn't have done it, of course. But you know, nowadays, you really gonna if, because it's a kid, it's gonna keep you from protecting yourself. You know, I mean, you know, there's kids that shoot cops every fucking day. So you know, now the big contention is the big story with this whole thing is that cops now are being more reactionary. Like in other words, they almost it's almost like become a normal thing. Like there's always going to be like you have the cops are expecting confrontation now, you know they're expecting anybody and everybody to say I know my rights and you know who the fuck are you to tell me what to do and you know I've never met a bad person that when you stopped them didn't say I'm sorry officer you caught me you got me red handed you know when people are doing something wrong they usually say they're not doing anything wrong you know I never you know it's not like you're gonna you know one day you know see a cop go. Oh, get against the wall. Oh, it wasn't me, officer. Oh, it wasn't you? Okay, keep going. Sorry, my mistake. Sorry about that. Sorry to detain you for no reason. Didn't mean to. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Market was up nice on Wednesday. It's always good to have a big positive day in the market again, up 240-something points.
Yeah, so Greece owes Europe $300 billion.
Right.
And they're freaking out that they don't have $2 billion of it to be paid back this month. They're never going to be able to pay back $300 billion.
Right.
And every time there's talk that they can't pay it back, the market's been, like, flying down. So eventually something bad is going to happen.
That's interesting. I actually had my own little bailout I was real happy about. I had my my equity line modified.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Because I had a balloon payment due here in October for the entire amount of the equity line. And I wasn't prepared to pay that. Much like Greece was not prepared to pay that $3-point-something billion.
What'd they do? They said, all right, we'll lend it to you.
No, what they did was they knew that they had to do something because what are they going to do? So I got a modification. Get this. Let's just say the mortgage is like $150,000.
Right.
20 years, no interest. Pay monthly the difference. Just pay the monthly payment of $700 a month for the next 25 months or 250 months.
So it's like a second pay. So it's like a second mortgage, but with no interest.
Right. In other words, they took my balance. Instead of being a balloon payment, they refinanced the whole new debt at 0%, 220 something months, no interest.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't have to, now I don't write off, I don't get to write off any taxes on that loan, but I'm not getting charged any interest.
You know, yeah, interest-free money.
Could you imagine having 19 years of free, about $200,000? Yeah, of course. Now, what's going to happen is when the value moves up, hopefully I'll get the value of the house, and you know, but now I'll be chunking down that mortgage, baby. Be paying it
but
down.
But now you have to pay an additional $700 a month.
No, I was paying before. I was paying the interest only on that, which was, let's say, about $500-$600. And now it's up to like $800 where I'm paying. There's no interest, but I'm paying down the principal. You know what I mean?
Right.
That balance has not increased from this point forward. You know, a lot of people don't realize when you get a mortgage of like $500,000, let's say, at 3 or 4%, you know, even at that.
That's, you're just paying the interest.
Yeah, that's $15,000 a year in interest.
Right.
So, you know, if you're paying $2,000, you know, and of course, the way they set up a mortgage, when you first get a mortgage and let's say your payment's $1,500, yeah, about $200 of it's principal.
Right, right.
You know, and the rest is considered, you know, the early stages of interest, chunking it down.
Oh, so now it's all going to be principal.
That's it. There's no interest. There's no interest on the loan. So when I send in $1,000 every month, boom, that comes right off the principal.
Right. Oh, that's wild.
Fuck yeah, man. It's one thing I did between, yeah, Obama, yeah, hey, let's hear it for the banks.
That's like a federal program?
Yeah. And the way you qualify for it is you can't be behind on your payment. You have to still want to live in the house and all that shit. But you just have to show, like I couldn't pay $150,000 between now and October.
Right.
Which wasn't hard to show.
That's a riot.
You know what I mean? It wasn't too hard to figure that out.
How many years were you already paying the mortgage?
About 10 years.
So it's like a 30-year loan anyway.
Right.
So they just added another 20 years.
Right.
Yeah, that's wild.
With no interest, baby. You know? Now, if I win the lottery or something and they find out I can pay it, you know, I got to keep that on the down low. Yeah, I can't.
So don't win the lottery.
Yeah, if I win, I got to be like, shut up, you know, be quiet. If they take a picture of me, I'll be up there like the unknown comic. I'll have a bag on my head.
Right, right.
The winner of this year's big mega drawing, this month's mega drawing, wants to remain anonymous. Yeah, you don't want that either, because then you make that much money. Friends and family come fucking knocking on your door the next day. You know? Oh, I don't know if I told you, but I've been wanting fake boobs all my life.
That's a riot. Did they initially say, hey, how's our balloon payment doing?
Well,
so you got that balloon payment?
Well, of course, when it was 1 year ahead, they sent me an email, or sent me a letter, I mean. And they're saying, hey, just to let you know, in a year, this thing's going to be due, and you may want to, you know, find refinancing methods or be prepared one way or the other, right?
Right.
But this is just good. Everything's going to happen. At the end of this year, I'm excited about money because, you know, I pay back all my, there's no more debt. I got rid of debt, no credit card debt, all that shit, right? And, of course, when I left that Wells Fargo heap of fucking job, I had to pay back part of my bonuses and stuff when I went there, and I took care of that. The last payment's in January. Oh, man, come next year, dude. I'm going to be like swimming in cash.
Right.
Can't wait. You know?
Sweet.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be like you. Maybe I'll spend my days pondering.
Yeah, take it easy. Do a little beach time.
That's right.
Hey, did you talk about that, the prison worker who helped those two guys escape?
Now, did they find out that there was a woman, particularly a woman that may have...
You should Google this girl, and because when you see her face, you'll...
What, she's a looker?
You really got to take a look at her.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like... who do I think? Maybe R.J. Walker with a wig?
Oh, really?
This is wild. This convicted murderer faked being in love with this woman so she would give him tools to tunnel out of the jail.
Ooh.
And she's actually upset. She goes, I was totally conned. I wonder if she has to go to jail, right?
Yeah, aiding and abetting. Isn't that a rule?
Yeah, she fell for murderer Richard Matt, helped him and another escaped killer. They go, what could motivate her when you look at this woman?
Well,
I mean, and her husband was a corrections worker.
Oh boy, so she's fooling around with the inmates when her husband worked at the prison.
I guess every time when I'm looking at this picture, I can't get over it that this person could do something like this.
Now she again. She was she's a woman. She was
Joyce
married.
Joyce Mitchell. Yeah.
And her did her husband work at that same prison?
That I don't know, but he is a he has the, like a similar job.
This was one of the headlines I brought up. Dannemora prison break. Woman helped inmate escape because he has a big penis. Richard Matten, 48, and David Sweat of 34, broke out of jail over the weekend by using power tools to tunnel their way through the Clinton Correctional Facility in Dannemora, 20 miles from the Canadian border. Oh, my God, there's a photo of her. They left a note behind with a smiley face of an agent from a gook. Have a nice day. Joyce Mitchell has been interrogated, and retired Detective David Bentley told the New York Post, Matt has a way with the ladies.
Yeah.
He said when he's cleaned up, he's very handsome and, in all frankness, very well endowed. He gets girlfriends any place he goes. Officials are believed to have taken the tool from a nearby construction site. They blasted through a number of walls through the blah, 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 and they got out. Yeah.
Yeah. She claimed that she didn't help him. It was Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Yeah, look at that lady. She looks like she's like a PE teacher.
Yeah. And she, the funniest thing is that she's surprised. Like, what'd you think was going to happen after they got out? That you were going to go with them?
Yeah. I'm going to leave my life as a prison guard and run away and be on the lam with a prisoner.
Oh, my God. She looks like an English rugby player.
Yeah. Before the days of the helmets. Well, they don't wear helmets.
It's hard to believe that people can be transported out of their adult rational thinking into a childlike, naive, vulnerable person.
So,
you know, if you got me out of here.
If you help me get out of here, I'll show you my penis more often.
Huh. What do you need?
I need a big drill. Don't you seem to already have one? No, I need one that cuts metal.
I mean, these guys, did they have, like, they had to, like, actually tunnel out of the prison through metal and dirt?
Yeah, they went through all that and ended up getting into some, like, water pipe or something, right?
That is just fantastic. And this is a maximum security prison that you were able to do this.
Yeah. There hasn't been an escape in 50, 60 years, they say. So, yeah. That's what happens, guys. If you have a big dick, you have a way out of prison, one way or the other.
It's funny. I can't find any story about if this girl is arrested.
Yeah, they said that she's just been questioned. Here's a story, by the way. New York Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton says it's hard to hire black cops because too many have criminal histories.
Really?
The New York Police Department has a hard time hiring black men to become police officers because too many have criminal records. That's the white man's fault. The city's top cop said in an interview. New York Police Department Commissioner Bill Bratton said it's a challenge to find hireable blacks because so many African-American men have been arrested. We have significant population gap among African-American males because so many of them have spent time in jail, and as such, we can't hire them, Bratton said. In an interview this past Tuesday with The Guardian, a British newspaper, with the New York Bureau. Bratton put at least part of the blame on the New York Police Department's use of the controversial tactic stop and frisk. According to The Guardian, he acknowledges that the unfortunate consequences of stop, question, and frisk, a policy that hit communities of color the hardest. So I guess he's saying,
that's all right.
I guess he's saying a policy that the New York City Police Department, or the New York Police Department, one of their policies to arrest people for no reason, has caused them a reason to not hire those people.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Hey, have you been watching the basketball?
Yeah, big game the other night.
Where was this guy last year?
Yeah, I think he was... Like,
there's no way that LeBron is playing the same as he was last year.
Yeah. I mean, was he on the team last year, this guy?
Like, this guy, every single time he touches the ball, he drives right to the basket. Like, I used to think that last year. I go, boy, why is he passing? Why isn't he trying to score on every play? All of a sudden, hey, I think I'll score on every play.
Yeah, right.
And these guys on Golden State, they look like high school guys guarding him. There isn't one guy on the team that could guard him.
I know. It seems like the whole team's been asleep. Curry's not doing it. He finally woke up in the last, 10 minutes of the game on Tuesday?
How does this happen? Curry scores 3 points in the first half, then scores like 20 in the fourth quarter. How is that even possible?
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling, though, that they're going to wake up and they're going to win every game from this point forward. And
I was thinking that Cleveland's going to win for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I go, who's going to beat this team? What would he be doing if he had those other two guys, if LeBron had the other two All-Stars in the starting lineup?
Yeah, right.
They would have won in 4 games.
Yeah, because they completely swept the last team they played. So.
Did they sweep Atlanta?
Did they win one?
I think so.
Yeah, they swept Atlanta, which Atlanta was like the hottest team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know? It's just hard for me, you know, to see this. I mean, it was funny. I got an email from the Heat saying, "Hey, we have tickets." I go, "Go fuck yourself."
Yeah, here's your fucking tickets.
Yeah, don't bug me with the fucking tickets. Yeah.
Are they from Cleveland season tickets?
Yeah. You know,
I bet Wade's gonna go there. They said Wade is it he? And again, they want Wade to sign for half the money.
Right.
What's gonna motivate him to do that?
And you know, it's a big thing because he wants to finish in Florida because he's got such, you know, roots now in Florida. But, yeah, you know, to be honest with you, Wade, I mean, he is who he was, but he's not who he was. You know what I mean?
I could easily see him going to Cleveland.
I mean, I could see him going, and I could see us, you know, trading him and getting somebody and a draft pick or something like that. Because, let's face it, how many years does Wade have left? Unless he has some sort of comeback physically, you know, from where he's been.
Like they said, Cleveland probably might lose that guy Love. So then there's LeBron going, "Why don't we just sign Wade for like $10 million? Done."
Right.
Now you got Wade and Irving as guards, LeBron as a forward with anybody else. You don't even really need anyone.
Yeah, they just, size-wise, they seem to just be dominating Golden State. Yeah, that Russian guy, that big guy,
yeah,
Mongoloid.
Say, where did Cleveland get him?
What's his name, Mongoloid?
Yeah, oh my God, like Paul Bunyan from the Ukraine.
Yeah, it's like, the guy's, you know, it's just crazy.
The guy punctured the ball by squeezing it too hard with one hand.
I must break you.
Yeah, it's like Dolph Lundgren.
Crazy,
I can't, man. Like, a couple of guys were saying, "Now watch Golden State win the next three." I'm going, the Golden State shouldn't have won the first game.
Yeah.
There's no way they should have won that game. That game Cleveland had, and they actually, they flopped.
It's a bad sign when you're at home and you have to win even if you win in overtime or even go to overtime. You know, when you're in the finals of the NBA finals and you're at home, you should be winning those games. If you get challenged, it's not a good sign. Although again, Tuesday night it was interesting because, you know, they were down by 21 Golden State and they brought it down to 1, and it was like, oh my God!
As soon as it got to 1, it immediately went to 7 in like a second.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, I got this funny feeling. I think that Curry's going to step up. He ain't going to miss anymore. And you know,
also, what is this this tragedy of? This Golden State team. Let's take 43 pointers. That's your strategy?
Yeah.
Like, you look at them play, you go, that's what you're going to do? Is you just going to keep throwing it up and hope it goes in? Where Cleveland is taking like a million layups and short shots and shots like in the paint?
Yeah, but the problem with Cleveland's going to be they don't have the depth. They got so many people out that eventually as you get a little further into this, like these games now, games, you know, 4, 5, and 6, you know, or 5, 6, and 7. When you have very few people on the bench, that's going to wear and tear, man. You know, people are going to get tired. And that's why I'm thinking, you know, next game Golden State takes, and they end up beating them in the rest of this games.
I think if Cleveland wins tonight, there's a Thursday night game, the series is over at 3-1.
Yeah, well, it's hard to come back after that. But again, you do have one of the highest scoring teams in the NBA. That can just click. And like you said, they shoot three-pointers. All of a sudden, they get in a groove. They get in a rhythm. Those guys are going to be lighting it up. And then, you know, LeBron will start getting mad, start crying and having cramps.
I mean, it really looks comical. Like, you know, like Curry's the MVP and LeBron's playing 20 times better than him?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look right.
The numbers are insane. Lorenzo, what triple doubles with 40 points and 10 rebounds and 10 assists?
Yeah.
It's and like, then, are you kidding?
And then you, like you said, that Outback dude, that little runt guy, he's like Michael J. Fox of Australia. He's like, I know. He's like playing defense like crazy, covering Curry, and he, you know, and of course he's hitting every shot. He throws the ball up with his eyes closed, and the ball goes in.
Tim Duncan last year. Tim Duncan is walking around with a cane. Like, where the hell what was going on last year? San Antonio looked amazing last year. How were they not in the finals?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's just see what happens. And again, you know, if I'm not a season ticketer of the Heat next year, yeah, who knows? I don't care. Again, that's another expense, less expense. I'm going to be cash rich next year. That's all I got to keep remembering. Forget about the tickets.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, yeah. Speaking of cash, I got to cash out.
Yeah, you got it. Lenny's going to leave us for the rest of the day. Thanks again for Lenny for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And Lenny's going to be doing some shows in Naples on Saturday at the Old Naples Comedy Club. Over there at the there, so check it out and see Lenny this weekend. All right, buddy.
Take it easy, dude.
Take it easy. Well, good, because that Skype line was really bad anyway. Oh, listen to that piece. Hear that? Do you hear that? Oh, it's beautiful. You know, I may sound like a bitter Miami Heat fan, and, you know, to be, you know, listen, yeah, it is what it is, you know, but I'm going to tell you, as a season ticket holder, it was great when LeBron was here, because I used to sell the shit out of those tickets. You know what I mean? You can make money. I can't go. Fine. I'll sell them for $1.50 a piece, you know, on top of, you know, 150% of the sales price. Any game. They could be playing the 76ers, for God's sakes. People wanted those tickets. This last season, I had them for anything. It didn't matter. Oh, I gotta, who wants to go see Bosch? Yeah, I don't know. I just hope they can come back and make it be a little competitive. You know what I'm saying? Maybe be a little competitive this year, please. Okay? Oh God! It's just unbelievable. At any rate, don't forget to stick around. Bob Levy will be joining us today. For you know what I'm saying, we may have a shorter show today. We got obviously some technical difficulties. I got this power cord situation on my computer. Dell was supposed to send me a new power cord. I was supposed to get it 2 days ago. I'm still without the power cord. And I'm at that stage with my damn laptop where, you know, when you unplug the power and the battery sucks and the battery lasts about 10 minutes. Like, I know how my wife feels now. But the thing, you know, the thing just goes right down, like, you know. And it sucks because even my cell phone, which I need to be upgrading here. I could have upgraded this phone in April. But no, I don't know what I'm waiting for. I have no idea. But it's time to get a new one, and I'm still debating on, do I get a Apple or do I get a Droid? You know, do I get the old Galaxy, you know, the Galaxy Edge? You know, this Galaxy Edge, oh, look, but you turn it on, you put it on its face, you could see right. I like, what if you put one of those stupid fucking, protectors on it? You're going to be able to see anything on the side? Do I really need to see it from a different angle? And again, when it comes to this shit, all I want is a phone that doesn't die after, you know, by the time I get home. Let's talk about a little bit what's happening around the world. Miley Cyrus, I think in lieu of Caitlyn Jenner, Miley Cyrus is quoted as saying, "I don't relate to being a boy or a girl." In an interview with Wrecking Ball, stars open up about her sexual fluidity and says she told her mom she was bisexual by the age of 14. Kids today, with these choices, and it's such a sexual generation, kids in their early, not even early teens, 9, 10, 11, already thinking sex. These kids already know. What is it, a six-year-old a few years ago? A 3 or 4-year-old was upset because he wanted to use the girl's bathroom because he thinks he's a girl and he's a boy. How do you know that? What makes you think that shit when you're 4 or 5 years old? You don't think parents have to do with this shit? Miley Cyrus has revealed that she told her mom she was bisexual at the age of 14. The singer also claimed that her religious parents, who she describes at one point as conservative-ass motherfuckers, found it difficult to accept at first. Quote, "I remember telling her I admire women in different ways, and she asked me what I meant. And I said, I love them. I love them like I love boys," Miley said. The Wrecking Ball star, who was breaking out of Disney star Hannah Montana at the time, added, quote, "It was so hard for her to understand. She didn't want me to be judged, and she didn't want me to go to hell. Because she believes in me, more than she believes in any god. Well, that would be, you couldn't do that if you're religious. I just asked for her to accept me, and she has. Back in May, Cyrus gave an interview to promote her Happy Hippie Foundation, which strives to help homeless and LGBT youth, in which she said that not all of her relationships had been straight or straight heterosexual ones. I don't imagine any woman today in their early teens or that hasn't had some sort of girl-on-girl experience. And with that, I say I was born in the wrong generation. Right? I mean, how many young guys out there going, well, whose girlfriend hasn't, you know, gone down on another girl? I mean, that must be like the weekend thing with the young millennials now. Hey, let's go out. Let's have your girlfriend, you know, chew on mine and have sex with mine. Yeah, it sounds great. Then we'll go catch a movie. Back in the most recent interview, Cyrus explained she is open to a variety of sexual relationships. She said, I'm literally open to every single thing that is consenting and doesn't involve an animal, and everyone is of age. Everything that's legal. I guess she likes fat, chubby, 48-year-old comedians. I'm consenting. Everything that's legal, I'm down with, yo. I'm down with any adult, any other of age 18 who is down to love me. I don't relate to being a boy or a girl. I don't have to have my partner relate to being a boy or girl either. All I need is a heartbeat. Cyrus adds that she's had past relationships with women, but they haven't been brought into media spotlight like her relationships with men. Elsewhere in the interview, Cyrus says that she has inspired to set up homeless charity after accepting the huge disparity between her life and the lives of others. She said, quote, I can't drive by in my fucking Porsche and not fucking do something. I see it all day. People in their Bentleys and their Rolls and their there's Ubers driving past, the vets who have fought for our country, or those young women who have been raped. I was doing a show two nights ago, and I was wearing butterfly nipple pasties and butterfly wings. I'm standing there with my tits out, dressed like a butterfly. How the fuck is that fair? How am I so lucky? Yes, because everybody wants to sit there with butterflies on their nipples. You are a lucky woman. Who wouldn't want to stand there in front of people with that? Me, I'll tell you. I hate going to the pool and having to take my shirt off. Barely enough if there was butterflies on my nipples. Speaking of porn, here's a story. First sex in space, Pornhub is going to make a porn film in space. Wonder how many likes that'll get. In one small thrust for man and one giant leap for mankind, two people are set to have sex in space for the first time in human history. But for porn, not procreation. Can you imagine having a kid out there and the kid comes out of the woman down here and he starts floating out of the, you know, with the umbilical cord, like floating through the emergency room? Pornhub is crowdfunding a space mission to shoot an adult film in low Earth orbit. The site hopes to launch the mission and shoot sexplorations in 2016, covering the pre- and post-production costs itself by seeking $3.4 million from Indiegogo crowdfunders. It's a huge target, but there's every chance it will be reached, with Pornhub receiving over 16 billion visits a year and all the money being returned to investors if the goal isn't received or achieved. I wonder how, you know, imagine being qualified for that porn now. Yeah, I got a big dick. Okay, that's good. Can you last more than, yeah, I can last. Okay, great. Well, you want to be, ever been weightless? Man has, at least as far as we know, never had sex in space, with astronauts and international space stations presumably being too busy with more important research. We should ask them if anybody's banged anybody in that thing. It is, however, thought to be physically possible to have intercourse in an anti-gravity, and procreation is key to any potential colonization of satellites or other planets. In 2006, a sex in space panel was held at the Space Frontier Foundation's annual conference with speakers from NASA exploring the biological, emotional, and physical issues that will confront people moving off Earth into space and in the environment. Pornhub claims to be attempting the Mammoth mission purely for the love of science and sex. Oh yeah, and for money. And the mind boggles as to what kind of scenes will be achieved at zero Ground Zero. Yeah, that must be, you know, that's going to be pretty good. You got to admit. Would you want to see, you know, two people fucking in space? Can we have it three? Can we have it a gangbang? Is that cost too much to send them all up in space? Is that really going to be a problem? I didn't think it'd be a problem. I thought it'd be fine. Right? Come on, man. Come on. All right, then. Fine, just me and her. By the way, I don't know if you saw the movie Tomorrowland, but I heard it sucks. Disney can lose $140 million on Tomorrowland flop. Could have told you that. Even the previews look like they sucked. Tomorrowland. No more space pack. No more jetpacks, okay? No one ever believes that the jetpack's ever going to work. Fucking Tomorrowland. You got Star Wars. You got all these incredible, incredible science movies with special effects and all the shit. And Disney's going to come out with Tomorrowland. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. The story first appeared in June 19th issue of the Hollywood Reporter magazine to receive. If ever there was a studio that could withstand a serious stumble, it's Disney's. Home of Lucasfilms, Marvel, Pixar, and Walt Disney Animation Studios. And its stumble, it has with Tomorrowland. The Brad Bird-directed fantasy adventure. Sources say the film will lose over $120 million to $140 million. Oof. Boy, I feel bad for that guy next time he tries to come up and make a film. What was the last film you did? What about the film before that? The film cost $180 million to make. Ugh. Well, at least you know that, you know, and even for poor George Clooney, you know, he's going to be jinxed. It's like his wife has jinxed him. Looks like when Tiger Woods' wife jinxed him when he got married, and then his game fell to shit. He got caught banging all them women. That was a problem, too. Yeah. George Clooney. I mean, okay, now he's got Batman Returns, right? That was a really bad movie. This movie. I mean... Yeah. So, Disney's stock's been doing good, so let's see if they can withstand that. Here's a little story for you to review. Women busted for hamburger battery on Boo on June 9th during an argument over infidelity. A Florida woman threw a hamburger at her boyfriend, striking him in the eye and landing her in jail. According to the cops, Rikia Moore and Mario Thornton were bickering Saturday evening over Moore reportedly being unfaithful. In the midst of the verbal beef inside Clearwater home, the 27-year-old Moore took a hamburger and threw it at Thornton, her beau of 12 months. The burger, a criminal complaint alleges, struck Thornton in the eye. You gonna poke out my eye with that thing? When Moore was questioned by a sheriff's deputy, she reportedly coped to winging the burger at Thornton, adding that it may have hit him. Pictured above, Moore, who works at Ruby Tuesday's restaurant, was arrested for simple battery, dating, violence, and misdemeanor. I didn't know that was something you can get in trouble with. A misdemeanor. She spent the night in jail before being released on Sunday afternoon, where she went to McDonald's for another hamburger. Oh, can you imagine? Nowadays, what you're in jail for? I hit somebody with a hamburger. What's worse, if you hit somebody with a hamburger, or you make them eat it? You should be able to get in trouble for making somebody, you know, be able to eat the fucking thing. Hey, by the way, congratulations to the United States. It ousts Russia as top world oil gas producer. In a recent data survey, the U.S. has taken Russia's crown as the biggest oil and natural gas producer in a demonstration of the seismic shifts in the world's energy landscape emanating from America's shale fields. U.S. oil production rose to a record last year, gaining 1.6 million barrels a day, according to BP Statistical Review of World Energy released. On Wednesday, gas output also climbed, putting America ahead of Russia as a producer of hydrocarbons combined. The data showing the U.S. emergence as a top driller confirms trends that helped the world's largest economy reduce imports, caused a slump in global energy prices, and shifted the country's foreign policy priorities. Quote, we are truly witnessing a changing of the guard of global energy suppliers, BP chief economist Spencer Dale said in a presentation. The implications of the shale revolution for the U.S. are profound. Yeah. So, it'd be nice to keep our gas prices low, but we are seeing them rise again. By the way, speaking of rising again, you should see interest rates are going up. So if you're thinking about buying a house, be sure to go out there and get the house. Can't, you know, how much longer it'll be, right? This was pretty cool. I always love the military. Electromagnetic steel sled into the ocean. Well, let's see here. Watch the Navy blast a 40-ton steel sled into the ocean with a new electromagnetic jet launcher. Wow. Most aircraft carriers currently use stream-powered catapults to launch fighter jets. It helps them reach takeoff speed faster and leave the carrier safely. But unfortunately, they're a pain to work with. Steam-powered catapults take up a lot of space and the ship and generally require a fair amount of manpower to operate. They also require vast amounts of water. A ship can only produce or store a certain amount of desalinated water per day because the steam catapult cannot use seawater directly to the corrosive nature. If you ever want to know what that's like, park your car, live on the ocean for a few months and watch the rust just hit your car. Because a steam catapult cannot use the water directly, it's corrosive in a warlike situation where every minute matters. Not being able to launch a jet fighter could be catastrophic. So in order to replace the traditional steam catapult, the United States Navy is working on developing new, more practical method of launching fighter jet aircrafts off carriers, dubbed the Electromagnetic Aircraft Launch System, called EMALS. The new electromagnetic catapult is more resource efficient and able to provide a steadier acceleration speed in comparison to the steam catapult. The electromagnetic catapult can launch fighter jets every 45 seconds, according to the article. Wow, that's pretty quick. Because that's what we want. We want our boys in the air faster. I just hope that our fighter jets are comparable now to that of Russia and the other ones. So, anyway, we're going to take a break here. And we come back from the break. I'm going to have Bob Levy joining us on the phone. And stick around for that. You know what I'm saying with Bob Levy. So join us in a few minutes or a couple minutes on the break when I come back with the Rev. Bob Levy.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Now you know what I'm saying with the Reverend Bob Levy on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
That's right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And, of course, a special simulcast, if you would, here on the Rev. Bob Levy Show.
That's right. We're doing them both at once.
Yeah, they're like a gay couple. They're married right now.
That's right. Only I'm the one on top.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not a catcher. We should do a video of you and I like a just married gay couple. I'm not getting on the bottom. You getting the bottom? No, I'm not getting on the bottom.
Fuck that.
Let's get Mikey. He doesn't mind being on the bottom.
Of course not.
Anyway, welcome. And okay, I haven't been on the show in a while, so
yeah, it's good to have you on the Bob Levy Show. Yes, yeah. With me, from Bob Levy, Joe Conte, and John Gensel.
That's right. And of course, here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
That's
like two people getting to meet, like, you know. Well, of course, we're kind of like related shows. You have our co-host Tim Hanlon doing a segment on your show, called Humid and Stupid.
Yes,
and Tim does a report every day on your show, which is awesome.
And we're on the same network out in Florida.
Yeah, over at the IRN Internet Radio Network.
That's right.
Which is, you know, I don't know if you listen to it on there because you're on there from 4 to 6, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And
I don't, you know what I mean? I listen to it when I can, you know, I'm so fucking busy, but you know how it is.
So you don't ever listen to your show?
I listen to my show when I want to listen to it. Like, when I have time, I'll sit down and listen to it, but I always listen to my show because it's the best show out there. Sorry, folks, but that's just a fact.
Yeah, besides present company. And, of course, come on. Yeah, it's a funny show, you know, it's definitely, and I like the IRN because it's a good network. When you listen to it, they got news and shit in between and everything. And
yeah, you need to know what's going on in this fucking world, you know. You see, Colin Quinn's getting heat already with the fucking book saying it's a racist.
Really?
Muslim people are upset already. Can you fucking believe that?
Can you believe that in certain government areas they're not going to celebrate 4th of July because the Muslims were mad about it? Did you read about that?
Are you fucking kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, like in other words, they want to move the 4th of the July celebration from somewhere else because the Muslims didn't like that, you know.
Oh, yeah, they don't like blowing shit up.
Yeah, I thought that would be right up their alley. You mean lighting a fuse and detonating explosives is not something you want to, you know, do for fun?
You don't want to partake in that anymore?
Yeah.
What are you, turning over a new towel?
They're going to be like, it's not fun unless body parts are flying.
Yes, we'll let them all light them and let's tape them to them.
Yeah, you ever light your, you ever mess yourself up lighting fireworks?
Oh, fuck yeah. I used to take all the gunpowder out, right, and then put a little, fuse to it, and it all went up, and it got my finger, and it basically, my skin was gray, but now it's fixed.
Yeah, now it's better. Actually, you mentioned that. Well, one time I took a bunch of, I had like a brick of firecrackers, and you take the firecracker, and you take it like a razor and slice it down the middle, and you take all the gunpowder out.
Yeah.
Eventually, I filled the entire contents of a Nerds box, you know, that candy Nerds.
Yeah.
Like a little box. I filled up pretty much the entire amount with gunpowder in that box. And I took the long fuse that you have that wraps the firecrackers together.
All right, MacGyver, we get the fucking point. Right. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, I blew that fucking thing up.
Fucking and then we used to blow up dog shit, you know, when somebody was standing behind it, and then like we'd take their attention away, and then when he lit it, he would call him, and he'd turn around, and it would blow up in his face.
Yeah, he called it a shit grenade.
Shit grenade. It's nothing like a shit grenade.
Yeah.
Man.
I saw this on TV the other day. Somebody took video of these kids. Like, look at these crazy fucking kids. I'm like, hey, man, I talked about that on our show last July 4th. Well, when we were kids, we used to get Roman candles. And we'd have Roman candle fights.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And we used to run around with the lids from your garbage can. And then you'd light
no,
the fucking...
No, we didn't use anything. See, we weren't pussies.
Yeah, we'll see. Did you have a perimeter? Did you have to stay within somebody's yard or something? You couldn't
Nobody
go running.
Fucking. Well, my friends didn't go by rules. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, right. See, we made it a little more like you were in the perimeter of somebody's driveway, basically, you know, in a front yard, so you couldn't go like running halfway down the street, you know, like a pussy.
All right, like 10 steps back and turn around.
Yeah, that's basically it. It was like a French duel, you know.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
The kids today don't have that. They don't have that fun anymore like we used to with all that shit.
Yeah. Well, they actually show this in the street somewhere. And these kids were, I was laughing. These people that were watching it next to me, like, oh my God, these kids today. I go, what do you mean? I was doing that when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, they're just having fun. Jesus fucking Christ.
Everybody's having fun until somebody gets an eye taken out.
Hey, it happens. What are you going to do? Look, it made Sammy Davis a fucking star.
Yeah, look at him. Hey, baby, you want to hear the Candyman?
I got a piece of candy in for an eye now.
Yeah.
Look at me.
I got a butterscotch thing in my eye, Dig.
It's not an eye. It's a Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, buddy. I haven't heard Sammy Davis Jr. in so long, I can't even do an impression of him.
It's rock candy, baby. Remember the rock candy? You fucking chew it. I mean, imagine trying to chew that now. You know you would chip your fucking teeth. That fucking candy. It was like some kind of rock sugar.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly. It was crystallized. It was basically why people started doing crack.
Meth and crack started from that.
Yeah. Somebody said, man, this looks like rock candy. Yeah, but it looks much better and has a much better effect.
That's right. You know what's almost as fun as... shooting Roman candles at each other, watching a dog try to catch a fly in the room.
Yeah.
He's like, I already got one today, you know, because it's like I'm trying to get all four of them in at once, and it's like fucking hard, you know, and then a fucking fly comes in, and I'm like, fuck it, they'll get it, you know, or, you know, I'll do the fucking Karate Kid thing, you know.
I was going to say, your dog's like Karate Kid, like he's catching the fucking fly.
Yeah, but he doesn't do it. I can grab it with my hand when it flies by.
Yeah.
You know? I'm pretty quick. I got a quick right hand from a lot of practice.
Yeah, the righty, huh?
Yeah, from being married.
And then he gets the once he catches a fly, he makes it real dizzy by flocking it around, yes. Shaking it around in his wrist.
Yeah, fucking jerk off the fly. Then I throw him against the wall like I do with my load. Ooh, I almost got him. I almost fucking got him. He came at me. The dog's like, where the fuck did he go?
Yeah, I told the... I give
this is their entertainment. You understand? For them, this is like fucking Disney World.
It's like cable TV, a fly.
Yeah.
You know, as an uncle, I give that advice. I tell my nephews, I said, listen, if you want to impress a woman, next time you're out to lunch with her, catch a fly.
Yeah. Women, I just open mine when I'm with one.
That's a good way to impress her as well.
Shit, yeah, especially if you got a hog like me.
Yeah, now that I caught the fly, I will unzip my fly.
This is your reward, you filthy whore.
I caught the fly now. Here's your trophy.
You will suck on the royal cock. Yes. Oh, I wish I was a prince. Yeah. You know?
What, you mean like prince? Like
Prince, or whatever, you know. What are those kids in England? Those
Prince Harry and Prince William?
Yeah. I'd be like, it's time for you to suck the prince's cock.
Yes.
Could you get him over here?
I need you to sit on my royal scepter.
I'm going to eat the royal pussy.
That's right. The prince is going to dine out now.
He's going to dine in.
Dine down. I'm going to go out to the field to eat some shepherd's pie, and the shepherd's going to be pissed.
Shepherd pie, another fucking thing. You know, if it's not made right, it's fucking like a Salisbury steak. Which I've never, you know, I've never seen a Salisbury cow, so yeah. I don't know what the fuck it comes from.
A Salisbury cow is a cow that's like dripping gravy.
Yeah, it must be like almost like a retarded cow. Remember the Mad Cows, I guess? Yeah. Maybe they use that for a Salisbury steak. But they sell them in fucking diners. Like, if you go to a diner, you're going to get a Salisbury steak, you know?
That always amazes me. It does, because, you know, as a kid, that would be the thing I would eat, you know, a Salisbury steak. You're like, oh, gravy, potatoes, oh, you know, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was easy to do, you know what I mean? And it was fun.
But I got to tell you what, I was working at Belushi's in Fort Myers, and Belushi's is on the second floor of the Tilted Kilt, right?
Tilted Kilt, it sounds like a Scottish place where when the Scottish guys walk up the fucking stairs, you get a fucking face full of cock in front of you.
Yeah, well, it's not the same place. Oh. That's Tallywhackers. You're thinking about the new place, Tallywhackers. We're talking about. No, but the hot chicks and little skirts, you know, they look like little, you know, private school skirts, and they're all looking, And but it's a Tilted Kilt. It's an Irish place, you know, or Scottish place, whatever. And they have, of course, the shepherd's pie, which, like you said, shepherd's pie. If you go to a place and it's good, it's fucking unbelievable.
Oh yeah.
But when it's bad, like you said, it's like eating a Stouffer's, you know, frozen dinner.
Yeah, but that wasn't, like we said, when we were kids, that was fucking good, you know?
Yeah, you didn't give a shit. You would eat French bread pizza. Remember you'd eat that shit?
I eat that shit now. I had it the other night. She went away for 3 days, and she went and got, you know, she has to stock me up with this, you know, whatever in the freezer. And I'm like, this is fucking great, man.
Now, do you just heat it up the way it is, or do you add more sauce and cheese to it?
Dude, I ain't got a fucking deli here or a supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what, you know, if there's, you know, there's, I don't have fucking ricotta cheese and shit like that.
Well, you wouldn't put it unless you're getting a white pizza, but, you know, you get a little extra mozzarella.
Oh, look at you, Mr. fucking guinea wop.
Yeah, well, what can I tell you? You know, we used to take the French bread pizzas. Okay, it comes with its own shit. Then you put a layer of tomato sauce on it.
You know, you're right. This should be done with every fucking frozen, because there's some good frozen pizzas out there.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm going to try that next time.
You ever try Red Baron? They usually give you a lot of cheese.
Yeah. There's, like, Red Baron, you can get, like, three of them for $5, and they're the size of fucking, basically a manhole cover.
I know. You're right. It's like, the thing, you can get, like, satellite channels on it.
You put it up on your fucking roof, and fuck that Rob Lowe. It was snowing in this winter, right?
Yeah.
And I had to go out there because, you know, it's a fucking dish, right? So we got snow in it, and it filled up. So I had to go out there. The fucking idiots that had rented my house a few years back took my ladder. So I'm out there with a fucking broom. My wife took pictures. I think I got pictures. I'll send you one. And I threw the broom, and I kept hitting it, knocking the fucking thing off.
Right.
And I finally got a good one, and it all fucking fell off. And I'm like, fuck you, Rob Lowe. You know, and it's me giving them a finger. I'll send you the two pictures on your phone.
Yeah, well, what happened with those Rob Lowe commercials? We haven't seen a new one in a while.
Basically, I think I tortured them so much on the internet with them that they got rid of it. Now they got some whore with a talking horse, which makes no sense. Everybody knows all you got to do is you can have me go out there and go get DirecTV. It only goes out when it snows, rains, or it's windy.
Yeah.
Aside from amazing. That. Doug, if it would have went out during the Cavs game, I would have fucking flipped out. It went out the other night, and, you know, you're watching the Stanley Cup. You're watching NBA championship.
Right.
That fucking thing, a storm fucking comes and that goes out. I swear to fucking God, I'm fucking driving to DirecTV headquarters. With a fucking baseball bat.
Well, that's why I don't have a dish, man. Fuck the dish. I'd rather have cable, or...
How do you got it?
I got the, what do we got? U-verse, AT&T cable, whatever.
So it's like underground or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, when it rains, it's fine. You know what I mean? I don't have to go outside and, like, kick snow off the cable.
Yeah, but the fucking rain does it, like a storm. It did it, and it's like, what the fuck? And I put it up on, what's that stupid thing I joined? It's off of Twitter, you can put it on. You take a video and you put it on it.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram? Basically say, what is it?
Instagram.
I go, look, I'm playing Pong. My fucking, it's a DirecTV thing, and it's going back and forth, down, up, and down, because it's no signal.
It's like a screensaver.
Yeah, go look at my thing, and you'll see. I go, fucking thing's playing Pong, and I'm trying to watch something. Motherfucker.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind not to. By the way, I don't know if you watched the game on Tuesday night between the Cavaliers and Golden
what
State.
Do you fucking think?
Yeah, well, listen, every time I watch LeBron win, it's like watching an ex-girlfriend bang somebody else. It's kind of...
So it's almost like once.
Yeah. Well, I thought for a while the Golden State Warriors were going to come back because old Urkel there started getting a little better. Curry.
Yeah, The whole thing is that always happens to the Cavs, but then they take it at the end. You understand? That you know that's going to happen. They always usually, they're down a little in the first, and they come back,
Right.
And by halftime, they're up a little. Then third quarter, they take a nice lead, and you know that lead is going to... You're going to say they're playing with crippled people. Fuck, I missed it.
Yeah, well, that you got that Australian guy. It looks like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. I love that fucking guy.
What a nut.
I'm going to go to fucking Outback and fuck a steak.
I'm going to jerk off with the Victorian steak.
Yes. I mean, the guy's amazing. I called it before the series. They go, nobody could stop Curry. I go, they got to put Delly on him. And that's his job. Just fucking stay on him.
Yeah.
And they fucking did it, I think, during the second
game. Well, listen, I don't want to disappoint you, but I think it's all over. I think every game is going to be won by Golden State now.
You're just a Miami bitter Heat fan.
No, okay? I'm just telling you because I could see
it. They're taking this in six, dude. This is going to be, like I said the other day on my show, I said this is going to be... like the 80 Olympics when the hockey team won, nobody thought they had a chance. You're playing fucking cripples.
Yeah.
There's fucking more people on their team in suits. And fucking whoever's on the court is either limping or their fucking wrist is almost broken.
You're talking about the Cavs.
Yeah. So for them to be winning, and they do got a good bench. I don't give a fuck what these people...
Well, that's what I'm telling you. They're done. They're spent. That's it. They're spent. They're
Delly
fucking
went
done.
To the fucking hospital, and he got dehydrated. He was dehydrated. They put all fluids in him. He's fucking fine.
Yeah, well.
They're fucking machines. LeBron's going to go to the basket, set it up, and then they're going to get the threes and fucking look.
Well,
I'm telling you,
they're done. They're done. No more games. It's over.
No more games. It's fucking...
They're done. I'm telling you. People are going to rather watch Women's World Cup soccer than the rest of that NBA Finals.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, come on. Hot
chicks. Would you eat the hottest chick's ass then play soccer after a whole match?
Yeah, of course I would.
Okay, good. I didn't want to hang up on you. All right, cool. Good answer.
I mean, she is an Olympian at least, right?
Yeah, well, I think so, right?
I mean, who couldn't put that on their bucket list? You got to,
Yeah. Hey, I got the bronze.
Hey, right. I don't know if you saw much of this this pool party fight, which we talked about yesterday, and this big thing in the Walmart fight. What do you think? I got to ask you, what do you think about the 6-year-old kid and that with the two women at Walmart fighting? You see this kid?
Yes, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That's fucked up. Okay. Here, first of all, if there's a kid, if two people are fighting and you want to let it go, and it's fair. and they need to really get it out. But the girl came, the fat one came rolling on one of them fat mobiles.
Right.
And she got off and she was fine, which is bullshit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Second of all, you don't let, you know, a kid see that happening. You know, as any adult, you have to go and stop that if there's a kid there.
Right.
And to not to do that, you make white people look like assholes.
I mentioned how funny would it have been if some redneck just went up to and just like drop kicked the kid right through like the aisle.
Like, yeah, a midget came just with a cape on.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones comes running out and beats the shit out of a little kid.
Yeah, I mean, the little motherfucker's hitting her with fucking shampoo bottles in the head.
Yeah, you know, sticking shampoo in her mouth. And I mean, what the... Yeah, that kid, you know, I was forgetting a little guy. I was waiting for like a grown up to come, get the kid, like, just kick the kid right through the, you know, through the aisle.
Get a cereal section, you little prick.
Yeah, go find some Lucky Charms, you little bastard.
You know, and they keep building this, and it's attracting more white trash. I mean, I have a Walmart here, right?
Right.
And what did they do? Dun, 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 dun. They got a super Walmart now.
Yeah.
Like, and they're near each other. They're really close to each other.
Right.
I mean, look, it's like a, I have to get a fucking white trash, one of them fly strips to catch them on and just fucking dispose of them, because I don't want that. I mean, white trash is the worst kind of people out there. And that's the truth.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says.
I mean, it's
white
funny.
Trash people take, I mean that they're biggest scum than any other race. Than, you know,
they are the lowest end of the food. They're the bottom. They are the lowest denominator.
Exactly.
Of the humanity. You know,
everybody says, "Oh, these people." No, it's not. I'm a fucking white man, and I would stand up for the black people anytime, the Puerto Ricans, you know what I mean?
Right.
The Mexicans, they want, you know, most people just want to work. These people work, and I don't know what they think. You understand?
Yeah. Well, like you said, the woman, she's on one of those, she probably got that scooter for free.
They have them there.
Yeah, she probably got that, they got it there they can use if they want.
Yeah, she probably has, you know, the fake handicap thing because she's fat. I mean, is that a handicap, being fat? That's your fucking own fucking fault. And, that's not a handicap.
That shouldn't be a disability.
A disability is fucking having a really bad back, hurting yourself,
right.
Coming back from war and, you know, losing a limb
or something. Yeah, could you imagine, like, a guy who just got back from the Gulf War, he's got... He's been on tour duty, comes back, he's got no scooter to go on because this fucking woman is in there.
You know what I'd do? I would fucking push her out of it and fucking drag her down the aisle and fucking drop kick that little prick in the face, son of us, and let the military person in there, because what we're doing to them in this country is a fucking disgrace.
If there was justice, we'd end up finding out, we'd probably see that little kid on the side of a milk carton.
Oh,
yeah. Imagine if that kid went missing. Oh, fuck it. He may come back. He may not. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. They'll find him in the fucking candy aisle, a little fat tub of shit, just like his mom. You see, that's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it Fattober yet? No, Walmart's having a special Fattober.
Yeah.
But the thing is that you see what fat people don't mind making their kids fat. That's the sick thing. You ever notice that?
Well, sometimes you see both. You see kids that of fat parents are skinny because they see, you know, how the parents are, and they don't want to be anything like that.
No, and they can't get to the food in time.
Yeah, mom, stop eating all the food.
Yeah, it's like she's putting the food down on the table, and then you go to get it, and she's got it, and you know, her and a hubby.
Yeah, one for you, two for me.
And you know what I mean? You fucking, and when they have sex, fucking, you can get splashed like you're at SeaWorld.
Exactly.
Two fucking wheels fucking.
Yeah, get out of the trailer. You're in the splash zone.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's sickening when you see that. And you see, we were telling the story on our show today. It's on now. And it was about a guy in a liquor. He was in, I guess, not a liquor store. It's a food place, you know, like a supermarket. I guess you can buy liquor in. You can't do that here.
Right, a food mart of some sort.
Yeah. So the kid was trying to get away from him. He caught the kid, and he punched him in the face. Look for the video.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, the maybe it was the mother, and she's pregnant for another, you know, so they have another kid they can punch in the fucking face.
Right.
But, you know, and nobody, you know what I mean? They found out who he was because of the video, and now he's on a $1 million bond, and he's going to get fucking so raped in prison. But this kid, you know, you can't fucking, you can't do that, man. You can fucking give him brain damage at that age, you know what I mean? You never do shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that, and we've seen video of that, you know, these kids. I mean, the kids today involved, getting involved, because, listen, parents today, people don't know how to conduct themselves. So when they raise kids, they're not. It's like they're going to pass on that tradition of I don't know.
I passed on my tradition to my son, you know, the way I lived, you know, and, you know, how to be nice to people, but don't, you know, nobody fucks with you, you know?
Right, exactly.
And that's the whole fucking thing. That's what you got to teach them, you know what I mean? You don't let people walk all over you. But, you know, you always give them a chance to be, you but know.
That nowadays, that's the difficult part, because if you try to stand up for yourself at times, that the other people say, hey, why are you fucking with me? Like, no, I'm not fucking with you. You're fucking with me, and you're expecting me to deal with it, but I'm not. And then you're taking it as me dishing shit on you, but I'm just not being a punk ass like you're used to dealing with.
Yeah, and the whole thing is you get in trouble for retaliating.
That's right.
And it's the way with the Lord. It's happened to me many times.
You know how many times that happened to me when I was, like, in school, you know, because, again, I was a fighting kid. So when, you know, bigger kids or somebody tried to, you know, get into a fight, they'd get their ass whooped. And I'd go to the principal's office and, like, Doug, what's going on here? I go, what do you want me to do? You know, do you want me to get my ass whooped? That way I'm not in trouble?
Should I take shit from them every day and be uncomfortable? Yeah. Fuck that.
Exactly. So... there was one time in middle school, we started a riot. I had a fight with this one kid, my buddy Peter. Same time, getting into a fight, we ended up beating the shit out of the two brothers. And next thing you know, at lunchtime, everybody's gathering on the basketball courts. And it was funny because the black dean...
Wait a minute, you're talking about the basketball courts?
Yeah.
He's stuttering, fuck that.
What did I say?
He said basketball.
Basketball. Well, so a bunch of white guys are on the basketball court and a bunch of black guys, and we're looking, you know, looks like a scene from East West Side Story, and all of a sudden the black Dean Brown, oddly enough he was named, came running out and he punched my friend Chris Rapp in the face when he tried to break it up. So, it's just, you know, these things happen. You know, sometimes you're not going to get along, but sometimes it comes to it where you got to go down, you got to throw down hands. That's it. Sometimes people aren't going to respect it until you, okay, well, I'm just going to beat the fuck out of you, and then let's see how funny it is next time.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's that, you know, you take them, once you know, a bully is only a bully until you beat the fuck out of them.
That's right, and then they turn into a pussy ass. All right, listen, let's talk about funny and comedy. You are running a comedy contest to see who is the dirtiest, most original comedian. That could be part of a tour that you're putting together.
No, it's not a tour. It's actually, it's on RevBobLevy.com. I teamed up with YouPorn, and we are looking for the last comic fapping. I have a thing on, you'll hear it today on my show, where we tried to get me to do it on the phone and do the video part of it. 20 outtakes of me just flipping out.
Yeah.
I can't get it in time in that, but it's called Last Comic Fapping, and basically it's a chance for dirty comedians. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just go on. It doesn't have to be all about porn or whatever. Just be dirty, original, and funny. And you know, if you get picked, you're going to get flown out to L.A. You're going to get 2 days a hotel. And if you win it, you get $2,500, and you get to co-headline with me at the World Famous Comedy Store. And everybody's tape is going up on the site on YouPorn. And the good thing is that a lot of people are going to be seen that have never been seen.
Absolutely.
So you might want to just put up a tape. Anybody should just put up a tape, truthfully.
Yeah, just put it up one way or the other, add it to it. Like, I'm not normally a dirty comic, but I was thinking about recording something this week.
Yeah, 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes. Yeah. That's all, you know what I mean? Right. And just put it up there, and people can see it.
Now they can upload the video on your site?
No, all the information is on my site, what to do. And they and I seen they put up a few today.
Okay.
So they just started putting them up. So I'm going to take a look at them. We'll see.
All right. That sounds good. So if you're interested, go to therevboblevy.com.
It's not the Rev Bob. It's right. revboblevy.com.
Go to revboblevy.com.
Or you can go to the DougAlmeida.com.
Actually, it's DougieAlmeida.com.
Okay. Maybe one day we'll go see the Led Zeppelin together. Okay. Me and the wife are going to see The Rush.
Yeah, The Rush. Yeah.
You ever see Rush?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw them back in mid-80s or something like that at Miami Baseball Stadium.
My wife says she's the best live band.
Oh, yeah. Geddy Lee can still hit those notes as well.
And plus, he plays three different... Yeah. I can't even explain how he plays.
Bass, keyboards, unbelievable.
And the foot thing, too.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's right. Well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and as I imagine, as a segment here on the Reverend Bob Levy Show.
That's right. This will be airing this week or maybe Monday.
There you go. Thanks again, guys, for listening. Don't forget all new shows with us next week here at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And, of course, follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. You can join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can follow me at Dougie Dangerous.
And yeah, I always get that fucked up on Twitter. I can never find your name.
Yeah.
Why don't you make it a little easier?
Yeah. Dougie Dangerous?
Well, it doesn't come up. Maybe I'm spelling it wrong, but, you know, I always try to tag you and shit that's with to do with comedy, and I can't find you.
Yeah, you find me once in a while, but that's at Dougie. At Dougie Dangerous. And don't forget, this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, Jim Florentine and our good friend Tim Hanlon will be at Homefield Comedy Club in Southwest Kendall area, Miami. I'll be doing a guest spot Friday night, joining those guys. So come out to that show. And don't forget, June 16th, Wise Guys Comedy Show at Starlight Lounge. Bob was there last time.
Loved it.
And
there was a ghost in there.
Yeah. And, of course, Jody White's our headliner that night on June 16th. So
and they didn't charge the ghost.
That's right. Pissed. He got in free like everybody else.
You know what? Maybe I'll do one more run by myself before the tour.
Yeah? Well, we definitely got to do that. Stay tuned for that because we're going to be announcing another Bob Levy Florida tour coming up. So,
okay.
There you go. Thanks again for listening, guys. And we'll see you here next week at the same spot.
That's right. On RevBobLevy.com with me, the Reverend Bob Levy, Joe Conte, and John Kensel.
Later.
Bye.